This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us today. With the September 15th filing date upon us, it's time to really sit back and look at where we stand with regard to some of the confusion under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. For those of you who have listened before, you know that there have been some question marks as to how to implement qualified improvement property and some other things under this act. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time going through some of the confusion there, why it's there, and then where do we stand. So when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about qualified improvement property first off. Qualified improvement property was an area that in the past we had a lot of different lives for. We called them qualified leasehold improvements. There was qualified improvement property that was established under the PATH Act. You had qualified restaurant property, qualified retail property, a lot of different things going on. And there was some confusion with that. So as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, Congress wanted to incentivize people investing in restoring old buildings, basically doing improvements to existing buildings. And so what they did is they created a category called qualified improvement property, which is non-structural improvements to the interior of a building after the building's placed in service. And that could be placed in service by anybody. So just to give you an example, I could go out and buy a building tomorrow that's been around since 1920, or could have been around since for 6 months. But as long as it was already in existence prior to me buying it, I could go buy it tomorrow and then renovate it the next day. And anything that I do to the interior of the building, so drywall partitions, lighting systems, acoustic ceiling tiles, as long as it was not structural in nature, would be this qualified improvement property. And that would also include a property, maybe I didn't just buy it, maybe it's been something that I've owned for a few years. Anything that I do to it would be considered qualified improvement property. Now, the intent of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was to make that a 15-year lived asset, which would make it eligible for bonus depreciation. And just as a little refresher, bonus depreciation is just an immediate ability to accelerate depreciation deductions into the current year at 100%. So just think about that for a minute. If we have a company that owns a manufacturing building and they go in and renovate that building and spend $3 million renovating the interior of it, the intent of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was to allow that manufacturing company to write off the entirety of those improvements in 1 year. Now, unfortunately, there was a typo when they wrote the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And what they did is they included the qualified improvement property under the 179 provisions, but they forgot to give it a 15-year life, and so therefore they forgot to make it eligible for bonus depreciation. This is known to be an error. It was admitted to be an error. It was something that basically, if you read all the congressional reports right after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it was admitted that this was something that they messed up. And so keep in mind, we're sitting here in 2019, and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed in 2017. So this is something we've had a few years now to fix, and so far nothing's been done. So where does it stand currently? Well, the most recent thing that's been done is there is a bill, there's one in the House and one in the Senate, known as the Restoring Investment in Improvements Act. And this is a bill that was supposed to fix this. Now, I will tell you, both these bills, both the one in the House and both the one in the Senate, were both written in March, and nothing's been done as of yet. They're short bills. They're only about a page each, and they read exactly the same, and they have bipartisan support, but there's very little chance that these will pass on their own. The likelihood is, if these do pass, they're going to be piggybacked on something larger. And so that raises a question. Okay, what did taxpayers do in 2018? So now that we're getting to the September 15th filing date, most people have filed their 2018 taxes. So most people have just taken 39-year life for qualified improvement property, and maybe they've done a cost segregation study to accelerate the personal property and land improvements out to be able to take bonus on them, but the qualified improvement property has been a 39-year asset. Now, for most people, that's not a big deal. The area that it becomes a big deal is for taxpayers that have a limitation on their interest deductibility. So just as a review there, there's also this other provision under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that taxpayers can deduct up to, take interest deductibility up to 30% of their earnings. Now, that is for taxpayers with gross receipts of $25 million or more, unless they're considered a syndicate. And what a syndicate is someone that passes on a percentage of their losses to basically limited partners. So that actually comes in and affects a lot of real estate companies if they're passing through losses. Now, if they get stuck under this 30% interest limitation, they can elect to be treated as a real property trader business or a real estate company, for lack of a better explanation. Now, by doing that, what ends up happening is they can increase and take 100% of their interest and deduct it in the current year. The problem with that is it limits the ability to take bonus depreciation on real property. Now, right now, that's not an issue for most people. They can still take bonus depreciation on personal property, so the 5 and 7 year property, and also on most land improvements, the 15-year property. But what will happen is if Congress gets around to fixing this issue of the qualified improvement property, if a taxpayer has made that election to be treated as a real property trader business, they might be limited on their interest or the ability to take bonus depreciation on that qualified improvement property, which could be a big deal for a lot of taxpayers. So that's one area that we've seen some confusion. The problem with that, making that election to be treated as a real property trader business, is if you made that election, that's an irrevocable election. So at this point, they can't go back and recapture that. They're just stuck in that. So even if Congress fixes it, they won't be able to go back and change that election unless something else has changed to allow them to address that in the short term. So those are a couple areas that there's some confusion. Another area that we've seen a lot of confusion is on the floor plan interest financing. So as I mentioned, you're limited to 30% of your earnings in terms of interest deductibility. However, there's no limit if you are using floor plan interest. So in other words, a car dealership is where this really comes into play. A car dealership that's deducting floor plan interest can continue to do so. However, there is a provision under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that if a car dealership is doing that, and under the way it's written, if they're taking any, it's not that 30%, if they're taking any floor plan interest, they can't take bonus depreciation in that entity. So to the extent that car dealerships are renovating buildings, they might be limited on taking bonus depreciation on a lot of their renovations. Now, there is a little bit of confusion there. It's not as easy as that either, because at the end of 2018, Congress issued a blue book just really explaining some of the rules as it relates to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Well, in that blue book, they actually came out and said floor plan interest financing doesn't limit bonus depreciation unless you're over the 30% threshold. Now, I will tell you, the problem with that is that's not what the law says, and unfortunately, the Blue Book doesn't set any precedent. It does show that there's some confusion there, so there might be a chance that Congress gets around to changing that rule in the future, but as of today, we have to go off the rules as they're written, and the rules as they're written state that floor plan interest financing limits the ability to take bonus depreciation. So most car dealerships in the entity where they're using floor plan interest can't take bonus depreciation, and that's something for people to watch out for. The final thing that we really want to look at is what's the status of a lot of the extenders. Really, this comes into play as it relates to bonus depreciation and the depreciation deductions that we've been talking about is the 179D deduction. This has been a deduction that's been around in a permanently temporary status since 2005 when it came out, and it expired at the end of 2017. So just a brief refresher, the 179D deduction was a deduction for putting in energy efficient improvements into buildings. And they split that up into the building envelope, so putting in efficient windows, roofs, those kind of things, the HVAC system, which is obvious, and the lighting system. And there were some requirements that you hit certain standards, and if you hit those standards, you got to take $1.80 a square foot in deductions against the basis of those improvements. So, for example, if you built a brand new warehouse for $100,000 and you met the qualification criteria, you would get to write off $180,000. If you built a 100,000 square foot warehouse, I think I said $100,000 warehouse. If you built a 100,000 square foot warehouse and you did these improvements, you would get to take a $180,000 deduction. It's not a huge deduction, but it was something that was very beneficial for many taxpayers. Now, what's happened is that expired at the end of 2017, right around the time the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act came out. And the idea of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was to simplify the tax code and get rid of some of these extenders. But we saw right away after that a lot of Congress people, a lot of senators really pushing to get these extenders passed through. And we've seen specifically Grassley has been pushing these pretty heavily. And we've seen them push through the Senate, but Congress really hasn't done anything. If you look this year, what happened is in late winter, right around March, right around the time that people were getting underway with filing their tax returns, there was a push in the Senate to push through some of these extenders, including 179D and a few other things. That push failed in the Senate and really didn't go anywhere failed in the House once it got to the House. It really didn't get anywhere once it got to the House Ways and Means Committee. So as of right now, we do not know if we're going to see any extenders. If we do see extenders, what they're going to look like. There is a chance if Congress picks this up again, they might piecemeal some of these extenders, allowing certain bills like potentially 179D to pass off. And there's really no way of knowing at this point in time where that's going to go, but it's something that we want people to keep in mind. With some of those extenders in the past, if you look back historically at things like the research tax credit, when that was a temporary measure, it's permanent now, but it used to be temporary. It did drop off once because it got caught up in some of these congressional steps and didn't get past 1 year. So it did have 1 year where it missed. And that's really where we expect 179D to be. If it does pick up again, there's a good chance we're going to miss out on a couple years. So really what it comes down to is there's still a lot of variability as to where all these things stand. So what do taxpayers do? Well, the best thing to do is really to look at what exists today in terms of bonus depreciation, in terms of the 179 regulations and other things, and look at maximizing the tax benefits of improvements within the current rules as they exist. So in other words, don't be building just simply for the rules that you think might be coming down the pike in a couple years. Make sure that we're looking at what's in the tax law as it exists today. Now, if they change it, we can always go back and recapture those. For example, on the qualified improvement property, if they fix that, just because you've maximized your deductions in 2018 under the current rules doesn't mean you'll miss out on it. What it most likely means is you'll have to file a change in accounting method or amend that return to fix that. So there is a lot of variability, there's a lot of confusion, but hopefully that gives some sense of clarity going into the next tax year. I appreciate you logging on, and feel free to reach out with any questions.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuireOnTheWire@McGuireSponsel.com.